If you're looking to save a buck here and there, use substitutions where you can. That's what we're often told. Our producers, some quite in touch with food blogging sites, saw an Instagram video of a South African vlogger suggesting that you don't throw away your papaya seeds after chowing your pawpaw, but save those seeds, then dry them in the oven. And if you're running low on peppercorns, you know, put that in the grinder. Well, just use those. It's quite novel, actually.
How to get free black peppercorns for life. All you have to do is eat a lot of papaya and save the seeds. Scoop out the seeds, wash in water, removing as many of the strings as you can and rubbing a bit to remove the membranes. Drain them and place them on a parchment-lined baking tray. Set your oven temperature to the lowest setting possible. Mine was 140 Fahrenheit, 60 Celsius, but go no higher than 212 Fahrenheit or 100 Celsius. The point is to slowly dehydrate, not bake. Depending on your temperature, it can take between 1.5 to 3 hours generally. The texture will look wrinkled like a small stone, and it will be hard like a stone. Place the seeds in a pepper grinder, and there you have it. Great anywhere you'd use black peppercorn, salad dressing, marinades, or spice rubs, just to name a few.
Of course, then we thought, but what about the chances of food fraud? Food fraud is, of course, the deliberate and intentional substitution, or the adding, or the tampering, or the misrepresentation of food stuff or ingredients that it adds to a particular product simply just to add bulk. It adds bulk to quantities. So we thought we'd get Hesri van Heerden. She's a food scientist at FACTS, Food and Allergy Consulting and Testing Services. Hesri, thanks so much for coming on to the Morning Review. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm doing good, thanks, and you, and thank you for having me.
Look, this is absolutely okay if you're in your own kitchen and you want to try something else for yourself. It's the first time I've ever seen using papaya seeds as substitutes for peppercorns. I'm still not convinced I'd be able to satisfy myself with peppercorns. But the problem becomes is when retailers, when manufacturers start using substitutes without your knowledge to bulk up their quantities when delivering you a product.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, in that scenario in the video, you know, they're just using the papaya seeds as an alternative to the peppercorns, but they're not selling it to the consumers, telling it's peppercorns. In those cases, you know, when a manufacturer or retailer sells a product claiming it's black peppercorns, but actually there's papaya seeds in, that's when it's considered food fraud. And there has been incidences in the past where that was the case, where they substitute peppercorns with papaya seeds.
So I'm in a restaurant and I would go back to a restaurant, and so I'm in a restaurant and I'm pulling up some pepper to like to throw in my olive oil and balsamic dressing here and turn the peppercorn grinder. How do I know whether what I have there in the peppercorn grinder is in fact peppercorns or in fact just repurposed papaya seeds?
That is a very difficult question, because often, you know, with food fraud, the idea is not to be caught. So they do it very smartly in ways that often with, you know, sensory ways that a consumer or we can, you know, try and determine if it's food fraud or not. You can't usually do it with just visual inspection. So often or not, a consumer might use a product and they will never realize it. And then, you know, more analytical techniques are required to detect a food fraud. Papaya seeds, it does look very, very similar to peppercorns when it's dried. There is some small visual differences, but it is sometimes difficult to distinguish between those.
Have you tried it? Does it have a particular different taste, or would one be fooled? I think I'd be able to tell the difference between a peppercorn and a papaya seed.
Well, it's also, they won't just 100% substitute the peppercorns. They will still maybe mix it in or dilute the peppercorns with it. So it often, they will try and keep the sensory profile as close as possible, because if someone were to, you know, taste and say, you know, this does taste different, they might query it and then they'll be detected. So
it's not necessarily to bulk up the taste. It's just to bulk up the quantity of the particular product. So if I have a jar that is 3/4 the way full with peppercorns, if I just top that up with some papaya seeds, I'm hoping no one tastes the difference, and it's just bulking up the quantity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Usually with food fraud is when you use a cheaper or ingredient with less value and replace the ingredient that has a higher value with it. So it is often that they use it to bulk it up. But there is, you know, there's different types of food fraud. It's not always just bulking up. For example, in other spices, they would add colorants to the spices to enhance the color. So to make it seem more premium or more expensive.
What does legislation say, Estrie, about paying for what is ad, what is being advertised? In if I'm ordering a product, that I it must be 100% that product, unless it is I am informed about it. What does legislation say?
So legislation doesn't, you know, directly say food fraud is prohibited and you're not allowed to do it, but there is different regulations that apply. Because if you think about the Consumer Protection Act, I mean, the aim of that act is to prevent, you know, consumers to be caused harm or exploited or misled. Same with the Department of Health and the act where they also, you know, speak about misleading the consumer and labeling. You know, you can't put something on the label that isn't true, or you can't add a substance that isn't, that shouldn't be in there or that's undeclared. Also, you have regulations that aren't, you know, maybe directly applicable, but speaks about the standards or composition of products, where they have specific standards of, you know, what should the composition of the product look like, and if you, if the product is adulterated, it won't comply to those regulations. So there is different regulations that come in play.
So then what is then your recourse as a consumer? Who then do you go to if you believe that the product that you've paid for, the product that is provided for you, isn't legit the dinkum product? You know, besides going through a laboratory process, is there a quick detection of whether what you've got is in fact the real deal?
There is a few avenues a consumer can follow if they suspect maybe the product is fraudulent. I would always recommend to first go back to the company and send them your queries and concern and give them the opportunity to help you in that way. If that avenue doesn't work, then there is, you can contact the Consumer Goods Council or the Ombudsman at the Consumer Goods Council. You can also look at the Director of Food Control at the Department of Health, or even at your local municipalities, go to environmental health practitioners, address your queries there. And, you know, it all depends on the type of concern you have, because there is so many different types of food fraud. Let's say there's a labeling thing, if there's a claim on it and you're not sure if that is a truthful claim, you know, that's different to expecting that your a part of the product has been substituted with something else. So you can look at then like the advertising regulatory board for labeling type of things. So it all depends on what your concern is and what type of fraud you are expecting.
Let's go to Steve, who's called in on the open line. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
My concern has always been around dog food. Mm-hmm. When you buy a tin of dog food and it says chicken flavor or liver flavor, how do we know that that's genuine? Because the dog doesn't know the difference and they can't complain.
Are you concerned whether your dog is getting chicken or dog flavor, Steve?
I am, yeah.
Really?
I mean, if I buy a variety of tins with different labels on, how do I know that it actually is a variety of flavors?
Okay. I understand your point, Kisri.
Well, this is just, once again, you know, it shows you can't just with visual inspection or, you know, smelling it or anything like that determine whether it is really true. So, unfortunately, in those cases, more specific techniques like analytical techniques like testing can be done to potentially determine, you know, is what they say is in there true.
There's a message here on the WhatsApp line that asks, hi, Lester, did you know that papaya seeds contain cyanide? Can you please explain this, from Mark? Is that true, history?
So, to my knowledge, the seeds, so certain fruit seeds does contain, there has been, you know, shown that if it breaks down in your body, it can go to cyanide. But with papaya seeds, there is very limited studies showing any potential health implications it can have, or, you know, that it contains cyanide. So to my knowledge, it does not, that it doesn't contain any toxins, but it isn't, you know, well studied always. So it can be that there is something harmful if you use it in the long term. But to my knowledge, there's nothing that can potentially cause consumer harm if they do consume papaya seeds.
Yes, what then are some of the raw ingredients that we could be concerned about if we are consuming them in its raw form as part of adulterating some sort of foodstuffs?
So there's what we call the repeat victims, that the ones that are often, you know, targeted for food fraud. And this would be things like milk, olive oil, honey, fish. Also, there's a lot of concern in the seafood industry regarding mislabeling of fish species, and even juices, fruit juices, coffee and tea, and of course, then spices and herbs. So those ones are the ones that are often targeted.
Just a final question here. A lot of issue coming around crushed garlic. Crushed garlic is adulterated with turnips, says this one. Another one says, hi, Lester. The garlic and ginger paste as well. I read it was turnips with garlic oil. I use a lot of garlic paste when I do my cooking. Is this a concern, Esri?
I'm not too clued up in terms of garlic specifically, but there has been incidences in the past with garlic. And it also depends on the shape and form the product is in. Because if you buy garlic whole and intact, it's much easier to spot if you buy something that isn't garlic. But if you buy garlic that is processed, let's say in a paste and things like that, then it's impossible to see what was added to the product. So often with processed foods, it is easier to adulterate. So it is often happening more at those ones than rather intact whole foods that everyone's familiar with.
Do you have any food adulteration concerns? We're speaking to Esri van Heerden. She's a food scientist at the Food and Allergy Consulting and Testing Services, also known as FACTS. Give us a call, 021-446-0567. Deborah, you have a query over palm oil.
Hi, Lester. Yes, my big bugbear over many years, because I've just noticed just about every single thing on the shelves now has been anything that takes expensive cream, eggs, butter, milk has been either replaced or largely replaced by palm oil. And I can even taste it. I can't even buy Provita, any Cadbury's chocolate, Nestle, most commercial chips, and breakfast cereals, biscuits, you name it. And as far as I understand, palm oil is the most carcinogenic edible oil on the planet. Not to mention the major food source of orangutans, which we all know about that. So I'd love to know why on earth this is allowed.
Esri, your response?
So if, palm oil is an ingredient the industry can use, so if they declare it on the food labels as an ingredient, then, that's not necessarily food fraud. But if, olives, oils are often substituted, especially the higher premium oils such as olive oil, it is, in terms of food fraud, it can happen that they deliberately substitute olive oil with, for example, palm oil. So if it's declared as an ingredient and the presence of it is declared on the product label, then that's allowed. But in terms of if it's not declared and it's in there, then that is food fraud.
Let's go to one last voice note. People with some concerns, 072-567-1567. We're speaking to Esri van Heerden. She's a food scientist at the Food and Allergy Consulting and Testing Services, talking to us about food fraud, food adulteration.
Hi, Lester. Ivan here from Divinal. I've got a concern regarding pink salt. Most composition tests with pink salt, Himalayan pink salt, actually show that there's lead and mercury and some toxins in there that might not necessarily be that very good and healthy for you. And it seems to be the latest trend that everywhere you look, they try and push pink salt as a healthier alternative. Why are testing not done on these type of things in South Africa? And general caution that this product might contain traces of chemicals that might be harmful. Why is that not on our packaging?
Thanks so much, Ivan. Just how much of our imported foods are actually tested? you know, to test for its purity of whether it is adulterated, about whether what is contained in there matches what is written on the packaging. How much of our important food is actually tested?
Well, in terms of the ports where it's entering the country, I don't think a lot of testing is happening specifically to see if it's adulterated. But companies that are importing food products, they can, what we call supplier assurance, they can also perform checks on their side to see the product that they're getting, if it really is what it says it is. So in terms of a defined answer of how much testing is really happening, it's, you know, it's difficult to say to what extent, because in terms of, like I said, the port entries, not a lot of testing is probably happening to see if the product's adulterated. But there is testing happening in industry to make sure that, you know, if you're a food company, some companies to an extent will do testing to ensure that the product is safe and sound like it and pure as it says it is.
Yes, Rifan Hirten, thank you so much. I think, look, I'm not going to add it to my general food diet, but I think just for my curiosity, I'll go try the papaya seeds thing. Just to see for myself.
Maybe you enjoy it. Maybe you prefer that over the peppercorn.
Yes, Rifan Hirten, the food scientist, thank you so much for joining us here on The Morning Review.